greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard. I just read the punchline of an email that just came in before the show called A View to a Kill. The subject of the email, so maybe later in the show I'll read it to you. It's a question about walking down a deserted street with your wife and two small kids, and suddenly a dangerous-looking man with a huge knife comes around the corner and is running at you while screaming obscenities. In your hand is a Glock 40, and you are an expert shot. You have mere seconds before he reaches you and your family. What do you do? And then it's followed with the liberal answer and then the conservative answer. And then there's also the Texans answer. But anyway, so that's what I read right as the live show started. So greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. We're going to have an H-free zone on this program in February. The month of February will be an H-free zone on the show the whole month. The whole month, no, we will not talk about homosexuals. We will not use the H word or any of the related words, like the G word or the L word or the Q word. Right? The Q word. No Q words. No B words, for that matter. So none of those words will we be using on the show, and we will not take calls from homosexuals. And we won't for the month of February. Because we're just getting sick of the topic, to tell you the truth, and we will not take calls from former homosexuals who want to talk about their former selves, or repentant homosexuals who want to talk about how they're having a hard time fully repenting. We're not going to take calls about any of those topics for the whole month of February. It'll be an H-free zone right here on Bob Benyard Live. Hey, I wonder if any other program would want to join in on that. Expand the H-free zone. For 10 years we've been doing this, and it's always been just this show. You want to go somewhere for a month and enjoy just enjoy peace of mind, you got to come to Bob Benyard Live for the month of February. All right. Tonight, NARAL. You know NARAL? What does NARAL stand for? That's the abortion folks. The NARAL. In Colorado, we have the Colorado branch, which is CARAL. C-A-R-A-L. And you know NOW, the National Organization of Witches, or National Organization of Women. And we have the Colorado Organization of Women. So we have they're the cows. And NARAL is the national, and in Colorado it's the corral. So we have the cows and the corral here in Colorado, the women who support killing their children. Well, anyway, NARAL tonight has the Democratic presidential candidate hopefuls that are all trying to get the abortion vote in the primaries coming up and then in the general election. And how many are there now, the Democrats who want to be on the Democratic ticket running against George W. Bush? There's, who is there, Lieberman and Al Sharpton and Kerry? Well, what is it, five? The Jacksonless Five? Is that who it is this time around, the Jacksonless Five? Is there six? Well, at any rate, my wife Cheryl pointed out that the same speech each of these men are giving to get the abortion vote, that same speech will be played back on Judgment Day for their condemnation to hellfire. The same speech. Nothing will need to be added. Word for word, there'll just be a recording. Right? Didn't Jesus say something about that? Even the things done in secret will be shouted from the housetops. Now, this isn't done in secret. You know, some men's sins follow them to Judgment Day because nobody knows about them. But other men's sins precede them into the judgment. You know, that's another one of my wife's favorite verses. Isn't that a Bible verse? Yeah, that's a Bible verse. Some men's sins precede them to judgment, and the sins of other men follow. Yeah, that's a Bible verse. That's a really good Bible verse, in fact. Christians who think that we're not supposed to judge, they don't know what to make of that verse. Just talk to Cheryl. She'll explain it to you. But so it's the same speech, and it'll be replayed on Judgment Day, and it will help to determine the extent of their punishment. So, and the Apostle Paul said that. Some men's sins precede them to judgment, and those of others follow. And so, if some guy that you might know, but you didn't know that he paid for his girlfriend's abortion, versus, say, Lieberman or Al Sharpton, who brag, they advertise that if you vote for me, I'll help keep the killing of children legal in America. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Well, the first wave of human shields out of London, actually, a few have gone before, but this is the first big wave. They say they've got 50 human shields en route from London to Baghdad, and that they could have as many as 1,000, and that they'll be at key population sites in case of a U.S.-led war on Baghdad. They'll be going to hospitals, schools, mosques, hotels. Yep, if they're going to be human shields, come on, you liberal chickens. Why not sit in front of some early radar sites? Why not sit in front of a surface-to-air missile battery? Ha! That's where I want to see the human shields. Go to an ammunition dump. Go to the Republican Guard barracks. You want to be a human shield? Go sit on Saddam Hussein's bunker and be a human shield. Don't go to a hospital, you chicken. You chicken shields, come on, get out of human shields. You're going to hospitals. We don't bomb hospitals unless by accident. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Oklahoma. 1-800-836-9278. And Ada, go ahead, Gary.
Bob.
Yeah.
Is there any one particular person, man, that you go to if you had a Bible question?
Well, I've got a number of friends and some favorite Bible commentaries and teachers, but hold on, we'll be right back. Listener-supported radio right here, Bob and Yurt Live. Hey, if you appreciate the show, we could use your help. What was it, 3 minutes before airtime, the phone rang, and we got an order for the plot. And the woman who ordered, she said, I'm ordering for my husband. We got the manuscript 2 years ago. That's our manuscript, the overview of the whole Bible. 330 pages, unpublished manuscript, best-selling title, the best-selling that we've got. Sold thousands of copies for $49.95 plus shipping and handling. And I said, well, you already have the manuscript. What are you ordering this for? And she said, well, my husband wants to hear the audio tape albums. We know that you have 5 audio tape albums that go through the overview of the whole Bible. We'd like to get those now. I said, wow, that's so kind of you guys, because it helps us stay on the air. And she said, well, thank you so much for the show. We love the show. We love the Bible teaching. So if you're interested in finding out more about Bob and Yurt Live, getting some of our Bible teaching materials, then please give us a call, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. You can get the plot manuscript, our Bible teaching on audio tapes, so many of the books of the Bible topics. We've got videotapes on the death penalty, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer, If you don't believe in Jesus, call in and we'll send you the Mount Moriah video for free. If you are a believer, well, we're on the same team and we all got to kick in. So, hey, our phone number, 1-800-836-9278. We could use your help to stay on the air and reach more people. And what else have we got going here? We've got, so that, wow, The Plot, 5 audio tape albums. Now, we have those on what? That's, we've got, if you get all 5 Plot albums, you get a discount, right? Because if you add them all up, let's see, $32.95 plus $32.95 plus $29.95 plus $34.95 plus $44.95. The last one is 12 tapes. So it's expensive. You add them all, that's a lot of money, but you get all 5 for $129.95. So that saves a nice chunk. That saves a lot of money. So $129.95, you can get all 5 Plot albums. Of course, you could get one of everything we have. We call it the Enyart Library, and you save $400 when you purchase everything, literature, audio, and videos. All right, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. So we've got, oh, man, and I'll go to Gary here in Oklahoma in a second, but we've got these, this is funny, really. We've got these human shields going to Baghdad, and what are they going to do? They're going to sit in hospitals and schools and mosques? Come on! Go to an ammunition storage site if you're going to be a human shield. Go sleep in a Republican guard barracks. Don't go to a hospital. What a bunch of chickens. All right. So, hey, Gary?
Yes.
Well, you must have a Bible question then.
Hey, yeah, well, speaking of the Bible, that verse you was talking about a while ago, the some men's sins.
Yeah, the Apostle Paul wrote that to Timothy.
Yeah, I think it's in 1st or 2nd Timothy, and it's right after he's talking about drink a little wine for your stomach's sake.
Yeah, it's in 1st
Timothy. I can't remember.
It's 1 Timothy 5:24.
Yeah.
Yeah, and drinking a little wine, there's a lot in the Bible about that, but that's the previous verse, right?
Yeah.
And it says, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later.
Yeah. I was just reading that the other day, but... you know what I never hear you talk about when
what?
You talk about The Plot?
What?
The sentence within the sentence technique. I think you should
help
you a little bit. That's
awesome.
But
we don't really talk about The Plot itself. We don't talk about doctrine on this show all that much at all.
Just that little...
Well, and that's something for reading. When you read, that's a tool for reading. It wouldn't really be a tool for communicating...
And I went to public school. You never hear that taught there. So.
Well, yeah, but on the radio, Gary, that's something when you highlight and you use bold and italics.
Yeah.
When you read, you can't do that when you're talking. Mm-hmm. So it'll have to be a secret between you and I and people who read The Plot.
Well, I think people should know. That's a,
well, it's fun. It's a fun tool
for
focusing your
really.
Attention when you read the Bible or any important book, but yeah, we don't, it doesn't work on the radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. But anyway, I just want to ask you, is there any one person that you can always go to and find a,
there are a lot of people I go to when I have Bible questions, many people, many friends, you know, lifetime friends who I respect, who love God, study the Bible. Yeah, there are a lot of people. But is that it? Is that's how generic your question is?
It's pretty generic, isn't it?
All right, yeah. All right, Gary.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right, bye.
Thanks for your call. Yeah, in The Plot manuscript, we have a technique that we call the sentence within a sentence technique. And it's so much fun. It really is, but we can't. you know, it's hard to talk about certain topics on the radio. Some things lend themselves and other things don't to discussion. All right. So, hey, you know that we have special forces in Iraq and CIA paramilitary units inside the country. And it's a stepped-up effort, more than we've ever done before, to track and possibly kill Saddam Hussein. And that's pretty neat. This story right here was in USA Today. And George W. Bush has given the order that any of our special forces that locate Saddam, they could kill him if they feel that their life is in danger. Now, that's some job. That's some work if you can get it. So apparently we don't just have an outright assassination order just to kill him on site or kill him when you locate him. But as we've always done with not only our military, but even our police, is if you're in danger, then you could use lethal force. So I wonder how would a Navy SEAL or a Green Beret, how would he implement that? He'd have to spot Saddam, maybe in a palace, and then say, "Yoo-hoo, Saddam, we're going to bomb you." And then when Saddam calls his guards, then blow the guy up. I guess that's what you'd have to do. And you'd say, "My life was in danger. Saddam was telling his bodyguards to kill me. So I had to take him out of commission." I don't know if that is that how you'd have to do that? I guess that would work. "Yoo-hoo, Saddam. Saddam, bomba dama dama rama dama ding dong, Saddam. We're gonna bomb you. Bomb, 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 Saddam. Hey, Hussein. Hey, Saddam, insane." So I guess that's what you'd have to do. Hey, you know that Scott Ritter, the former UN weapons inspector turned mental case? The guy who does everything possible to defend Iraq and Saddam Hussein, short of joining Saddam's army himself, Scott Ritter, New York State resident. Well, this is this news has just become public. You could find it on MSNBC, PMSNBC, and elsewhere. But he has twice been involved in, well, he's been investigated for trying to lure young teenagers to have sex to a Burger King, to a restaurant in his hometown. And this is quite a story. In fact, the one time he was basically picked up as part of an internet sex sting operation in June of 2001 when he was trying to lure a 16-year-old girl that he met on the web to a Burger King. And it turned out to be a police investigator. And so he was brought down to the police station and the charges were dropped. And then there were a couple cases like that. Really weird. The other one is even worse because it's more vulgar, because it's more detailed of what he was saying he was going to do with the even younger teenager. So let's go to the phones. 1-800-836-9278 in Golden, Colorado. Mike, speak your mind.
Well, I'm almost afraid to. No.
Go ahead.
I sure enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir.
And I just tuned in a couple of minutes ago, but anyway, I heard you mentioning something about Sodom, and I thought I'd add maybe a little levity to the Iraq situation.
Yeah.
But do you remember when George Bush Sr. called Saddam Hussein Saddam?
Saddam. Yeah, he used to say Saddam.
Well, he did that for a purpose because in their language it means horse's rear end.
You know, I have heard that, and I don't know Persian myself, but Saddam, and you know, some people call him so damn insane.
Right.
And so
as a Christian,
Saddam,
I don't like to say that myself.
No,
but
well, that's a good point.
Anyway, and I heard when I heard this, it was from a Christian speaker, and so he sounded like he was saying like he had heard it from some authority, but I don't know if it's, you know, exactly true either, but I kind of think it might be, and it's kind of funny.
It is very funny, Mike. I like that.
So
and you know, is it godly to mock your enemies?
Well, probably not.
Well, how about this? Was there in the Bible, the Bible's a big book, are there examples of godly people in the Bible mocking the enemy?
I think so. I think there's a section in there that talks about hemorrhoids, doesn't it?
Oh, brother.
And I think I heard you talking about it a couple of months ago.
I thought you said you were a Christian. Too much information. Hey, Mike, how about when Elijah, the Bible says that he was mocking these guys on Mount Carmel. He was mocking them right before they were executed. And these guys were executed, and that's pretty serious. I mean, they went right to hell. Hmm. But they were praying to their god, their false god, Baal, to deliver them.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that they called all morning till noon, saying, "Oh, Baal, hear us." But there was no voice and no answer. And so Elijah at noon, it says in 1 Kings 18:27, warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Your Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, 1 Kings 18:27, it says that at noon, Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry louder, for surely he is a god, Baal. Either he's meditating or he's busy." And, you know, that's a polite way that the King James translators went for that, because the Hebrew seems to imply that Elijah said he was in the bathroom.
Yeah.
That he was going to the bathroom. And so he said, either he's meditating or he's going to the bathroom, or maybe he's doing both at once. Or it says, or maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened.
Mm-hmm.
So it says he mocked them, and then just shortly after this, they were all executed.
Mm.
And Elijah was the executioner.
Wow.
And he killed a lot of them.
Mm.
And so he's mocking the wicked.
Yes, well.
And would you agree with this, that a lot of Christians, if they saw something like that happen, they would criticize that person for being ungodly?
Yes.
You agree with that's what most Christians would think?
Yes.
And so they would condemn or judge him or criticize him for doing that, whereas God brought Elijah to heaven in a fiery chariot before he died. He didn't have to die. God loved Elijah so much.
Sounds like a type of rapture to me.
Yeah, well, as I think we as Christians, we're now effeminate. And the Christian church has been emasculated, and we're no longer like men. Now you have to be a girly man in order to be a Christian leader.
Can I ask you another question about Saddam?
Yeah.
You know, the other day when they offered him asylum, I thought, you know, this is a clear way out. But then I got to thinking that he's an Islamic person, and I believe he's called for jihad, so the only way for him to get directly to heaven is to, you know, have somebody kill him in a war, I guess.
Well, he is not an Islamic extremist by any stretch. In fact, his regime has largely kept down the religious fundamentalists in Iraq.
I see. So do you think he may take this offer of asylum?
Well, it's a possibility. There have been credible reports that he has paid over $1 billion to a North African country to accept him and his family.
I see.
And so, and Saddam, you know, he's not a typical Muslim. He's got plenty of girlfriends. He smokes and drinks, and basically he's a lunatic.
Yeah.
But he's not much of a Muslim. Now, he has reportedly, he's had commissioned a copy of the Quran handwritten in his own blood.
Wow.
That he gave blood once every couple weeks, a pint of blood, and scribes used it to create a copy of the Quran, which is on display in Baghdad.
Well, maybe there's a little hope that he's got some sense and that he will take this offer then. It's hard to know.
Yeah, if his regime completely collapsed, then we would not have to attack Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But we would have to ensure that whatever government was installed would not be the aggressor and state sponsor of terrorism that his has been.
I just wanted to compliment you, too, on how much knowledge you have on different subjects, and especially the Bible. I'm just totally impressed and certainly get a lot out of listening to your program.
Well, Mike, that's very kind of you. You know, I'll give you a half hour to cut that out.
Yeah, really. And, I mean, I've been studying the Bible for 20 years or so, and but, you know, for you to quote all these verses and know all these insights, I just really enjoy listening to you. So.
Well, thank you very much. In fact, Mike, right now we have seamlessly transitioned into a commercial break, which airs only on the internet.
Oh, I see.
Now, you listen to the show over the airwaves?
Yes, here in Denver.
Here in Denver on KLT?
Yes.
670 AM. How does it come in Golden?
Good.
Well, that's great to hear, because 6 months out of the year, we are full power at KLT, 50,000 watts. But in the dark, this 6 months of the year, we're at low power.
Oh, I see.
But I'm glad to hear that even in Golden, right, nestled in the foothills of the Rockies, that we're coming in clearly.
Yeah, it comes in real well.
All right.
So, thanks for your show.
God bless you, Mike.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Nice guy. And notice that seamless transition into the commercial break. Isn't that just extraordinary? It's amazing how well we can do that here. What a seamless transition in and out of that commercial break. We got to talk to Mike while many of our affiliates were at the bottom of the hour news, and he actually helped with our internet commercials. During the bottom of the hour news break, we do spots on the internet at kgov.com. That's kgov.com. All right, so we've got special forces in Iraq, and probably in excess of 100, perhaps close to 200. Nearly 100, like Green Beret and Navy SEALs, and about 60 or so CIA operatives. And one of the things that they're doing, not only on the ground, but with intensive satellite tracking and radio intercepts and airborne reconnaissance using drones. And we've got planes in the air. We've got a Boeing 707 flying 10 hours a day, recording everything it could record. Phone conversations of Iraqi officials, cell phones, satellite phones, just whatever they can pick up, trying to keep track of Saddam's motorcade, his palaces. You know, he's been hiding for a long time. He has many palaces, and he'll have elaborate meals prepared for him at the palaces that he's not staying at, so that we cannot watch from satellite and detect a lot of activity and assume that, well, he must be at that palace, because here come the chefs and the food and the guards. So he's got it all going on at a number of sites every night. So maybe we just need to bomb all the palaces that have any activity each night. It'd be interesting. If the lights are on, then they're not going to be turned back on with a switch in the near future, because the palace will be destroyed. All right. It gets you a little worried, actually, when USA Today reports on so many details of our intelligence gathering effort. Gets you a little concerned. It's like too much information available to Saddam. Of course, he knows most of this, but still, you hate to summarize it all in a report for him. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Did you hear about the Syrian troops that were caught inside of Israel? What, just over a week ago? This is right off the Golan Heights. This is the first such incident in years. And they fired on an Israeli military unit. An Israeli official said that the Syrian soldiers, that they had opened fire on an Israeli commando force during a clash with the Syrian infiltrators in the Golan Heights, in the southern Golan Heights, a week ago last Wednesday. And so the official said that the Syrian soldiers entered Israel and unexpectedly encountered an Israeli unit in a border area where Israel, Jordan, and Syria all meet. And according to Israeli Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Moshe Ya'alon, he said one of our infantry patrols on our side of the border was fired upon. It returned fire, killing one armed man and captured another armed man who surrendered. It's interesting. According to military sources, the two men were wearing Syrian army uniforms and armed with AK-47 assault rifles, and they crossed into Israel. So I think the Syrians, if I recall from another report back then when this happened, said that they were not on Israeli territory, but believe me, if they were not, the Syrians would have taken a royal fit about this at the UN. So they were obviously on Israeli territory. All right. Interesting story out of the Hollywood Reporter about HBO. HBO is developing a documentary on a topic that only conservative Christians have talked about for the most part over the last 20 years, and we've mentioned it just occasionally on this show since we've been on since 1991 on the radio, that Adolf Hitler was a homo. But we had to do this story before we got to February. But now HBO is developing a documentary, and this is the Hollywood Reporter. This is a secular source that writes about, you know, movies and TV and cable. And the Hollywood Reporter is saying HBO is developing this documentary based on a book that claims that Adolf Hitler was a homo. It's scheduled to air within a year, and it will draw from a book titled The Hidden Hitler. Now, this is really a trip. Now, what's the title of this? The new title. Part of this documentary aired already in England under the title, Is Hitler Gay? Now, you think they'd say, Was Hitler Gay? But Is Hitler Gay is the title they used in Britain. The full 75-minute version of the documentary is expected to air on HBO with the title, The Pink Führer, Was Hitler Gay or Is Hitler Gay? The Pink Führer. Now, isn't that interesting? There is a significant amount of evidence that Hitler, especially evidence from early in his life, that Hitler was a homosexual, and that a number of his officials were homosexuals, and the reason that they arrested and punished homosexuals was to cover up their own homosexuality. And so while, like I said, for the most part, this was only Christians saying this for a few decades, now some secular historians have joined in because of the significant amount of evidence. And here on this show, we've long pointed out that of the mass murderers in America, of the mass murderers, homosexuals are way overrepresented. Way overrepresented. You know what I mean by that? Right? Like, let's say homosexuals are 10% of the population. Then if there are 100 mass murderers, you would think that 10 of them might be homos. If homos are 10% of the population. But as it turns out, homos are way overrepresented. It's really startling when you look at it. In fact, we've talked about it on the show, but probably not in a long time. But think, when you think mass murderers, you know, who comes to mind? Well, one is Jeffrey Dahmer, right? Wasn't Jeffrey Dahmer homosexual? Yeah, he killed homosexuals, and then he'd chop them up and eat them. He'd kill them and eat them. So he's a homosexual. Man, what a mess, huh? Yeah. How about, remember Orville Majors? Remember that guy? 6 counts of murder in Indiana. One patient, he was like a nurse, a male nurse at a nursing home, was it? And one patient died every 156 hours normally, with him every 5 hours. He had 6 counts of murders, and there were 60 deaths that he was suspected of. So that's really weird. How about Charles Manson? Charles Manson, Helter Skelter. Remember those guys, the family? Well, he was the son of a prostitute, and he was born without a dad. You know, his mom wasn't married to whoever his biological father was. And he spent a lot of his early life in institutions for theft, pimping, and homosexual rape. So Charles Manson was apparently a homo. And there's Donald Harvey killed 37 people in Kentucky. John Wayne Gacy, 33 boys in Chicago, would molest them and kill them. Patrick Kearney, 32 boys killed. He'd cut them up and put them in trash bags. Bruce Davis, 27, killed in Illinois. How about just so many. The list goes on and on and on. Juan Corona killed 25 people, migrant workers, and he would do despicable things to their dead bodies. Remember Andrew Cunanan, the guy who murdered Versace, whatever? I don't know all this fashion designer garbage. But he was wanted with the murder of 4 others. The California freeway killer, William Bonin, killed 14 boys. one 800 836 9278. If you're interested in ordering our materials, Bible study products, the plot manuscript, the sermons that we deliver at Denver Bible Church, videotapes on whatever topic, you name it, we've got it. Fun topics, whether it's the environment or creation evolution or divorce and remarriage, or sexual immorality, discouraging young people, encouraging them to wait toward marriage, debating college classes on philosophy, debating an ACLU leader, debating evolutionists, debating lawyers, whatever the topic, drugs. We've got it right here at Bob and Yurt Live, so you can call us 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. And if you're just not sure about Bob and Yurt Live yet, you've been tuning in, somebody told you about it on the internet, you clicked on a few shows, and you think, well, this sounds a little radical. Well, maybe a good place to start is with our God and the Death Penalty video. got in the Death Penalty video, and then after that, our Nicer Than God audio album. That's a good way to get involved. And if you order either of those, ask for our what do we call it? Our pamphlets. What do we call that? The pamphlets. Our article pack. There we go. Gotta find it among all our offerings here, all of our materials. The article pack. Ask for one of those. We'll throw that in. And, yeah, you get an idea of where we're coming from. What do these people believe? And you'll find out that we do our best to base our ideas on the Bible. And that's where we get our opinions from on current issues. Current issues, whatever it is, if it's taxation, foreign policy, the economy, monetary policy, criminal justice, right? Whatever the topic, pornography, prostitution. What does the Bible say about these topics? Are they sins? Are they also crimes? It's interesting. So of all the homosexuals who are mass murderers, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer, 13 young men and boys, raped them, murdered them, and ate them. Richard Speck, he murdered 8 nursing students, and then bragged about it on a videotape that showed him having sex with another guy. And he bragged about all the inmates he had sodomized. He died of a heart attack in jail. I remember that. We were on the air back then. Wayne Williams in Atlanta killed black boys. And they thought it was a racist. It turned out it was a homosexual, a black homosexual. And remember that in Scotland, that Thomas Hamilton that liked little boys in various states of undress? The kids in Dunblane called him Mr. Creepy, and he got even when he killed 16 kindergarten children and their teacher, and then himself. And the police knew he was a risk to children. That's so tragic. It just goes on, these stories. Let's go to the phones. In Broomfield, Colorado, Fred, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, sir.
I've listened to you for a long time, the first time I've ever called in.
Well, thank you for calling.
No problem. I got a question. I'm very much pro-life. Matter of fact, you had a big influence on my life. But anyways, I have a question, and I want to know your biblical opinion on this.
Right.
When it involves the life of the mother, because I actually had a friend who went through that. She had a disease similar to what Abraham Lincoln had. And she had like a 50% chance of surviving the her pregnancy. And, you know, they chose, to do the abortion. And I just, biblically, I don't know what the answer is to that one.
Okay. Here's
the wisdom on it.
All right. If, let's simplify it first. Let's say it's an ectopic pregnancy. You're familiar with that, Fred?
Yeah.
Yeah, an ectopic pregnancy where instead of the fertilized egg being in the uterus, it's in the fallopian tube. And so left to proceed on its own, the baby will die and the mother will die. So what we should do in that case, we never have as our goal to kill the baby.
Oh, definitely.
Right. The goal is to save both patients. So we go in an ectopic pregnancy and we take the fallopian tube out to save the mother, and if we could, we'd save the baby. But if we can't and the baby dies, that's a tragedy. But it's not our goal to kill the baby. And I'll give you, now we'll get a little bit more complicated. I'll give you the case, and I don't want to use the name of the family for their own privacy, but I'll tell you, it's a very well-known family in Colorado and even nationwide. They've been in the news a lot, and the wife became pregnant, and preeclampsia, have you heard of that?
No, that I haven't heard of.
That's a condition during pregnancy that certainly the mother can die, and this mom was suffering from this severely. And her and her husband knew that there was every chance in the world their baby would not survive. But what they did was they said, we're going to give our baby every possible chance, and we're going to wait to the last moment. We're going to be monitoring my vital signs, the wife's blood pressure, and just following very carefully how she's doing. And the baby went to about 6 months, but he was so tiny, he was about a half a pound. And then even at that point, then the mother's health was deteriorating rapidly. And so she would die at that point unless they took the baby out. So they removed the baby in a C-section, even though they knew the baby would die. And for 24 hours, the parents loved the baby. He sat on the mother's chest. They caressed their baby. They kissed the baby. And it was a precious time with that little child. And what the doctors and the nurses wanted to do at University Hospital, they wanted to induce an abortion. And these parents said, no way. We're not intentionally going to kill our child. And the doctor said that the baby can't live. This is University Hospital in Denver. And they said, yeah, the baby can't live. So we'll induce an abortion so it's less traumatic on the mother. And the mother said, there is no way we're going to kill this baby, not even 1 minute before he dies. If he dies on his own, it was a little boy. And so they did a C-section, which they had never done before, because they would always kill the baby, always. And instead, the parents insisted they did a C-section. They took the baby out. They gave him the tiniest little IV or breathing tube that's ever been in the history of University Hospital, probably anywhere in Colorado. And this little baby lived for 24 hours, a precious life, and then he died and went to be with the Lord. And
wow,
go ahead.
That's tragic, but it's neat at the same time.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Fred. It's a tragedy that the little baby died so soon, but it's a beautiful show of love and concern and valuing the life of their child.
Yep.
So, and you know what? So many women have called into this show over the years and said, my doctors told me my baby would be deformed, he would die, and we were against abortion. We had him, and he's perfectly normal. She's a beautiful little three-year-old girl, and the doctors were wrong. They exaggerated the risk. They exaggerated the problems. And doctors consistently, every day in this country, they exaggerate to the parents to encourage them to kill their child.
Yep. Boy, yeah. That's horrible.
Yes. Hey, thank you, Fred.
Hey. I have another comment.
Yeah.
When I first started, I was thumbing through the channels on TV, and I'm like one of those wishy-washy Christians.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is quite a while ago.
Okay.
I came to your show, and I'm like, boy, who's this kind of goofy character? Then I kept going. Then a couple nights later, I stopped by the channel again. I'm like, you know, this seems like that guy, maybe he's making sense. And there a guy called in, and he said, Bob, and this is the first thing I ever heard on your show.
Yeah.
I listen. Is like, Bob, why do you think, I can't believe you said homos are worse than gutter slime.
and then
you replied, you go, well, let me ask you a question. What would you rather have draped all over you, a homo or gutter slime? And there was like a 5-second pause, which is a long time on radio.
Yeah.
Finally, the guy goes, you know, you got a point, Bob.
Fred, I remember that call. I remember that call because we pointed out that homosexuals were worse than gutter slime.
Yeah.
And so what I did was this guy called in and said, you can't say that. That's terrible. You're supposed to be a Christian. And so I said, okay, let me ask you a question. What would you rather have on you, a homo or gutter slime? And you're right. He paused and he said, gutter slime. I said, thank you, sir, for making my point. And he said, okay, goodbye.
And, you know, I wish you had that on tape. And there's another episode that was so good. You had It Takes a Village to Raise an Idiot on a book cover.
Yes.
You went the first half of the show reading quotes from it.
Quotes from Hillary's book, the day it was released.
Yeah, that's right. And then halfway through the show, people were like, why is Bob only taking calls and letting the people say you know, hey, I agree with that quote, and you weren't commenting back. I'm like, boy, this guy's up to something.
Right.
And if I recall at the break when you came back, you ripped off the cover and it was Mein Kampf.
the book I was quoting from was not Hillary's book. It was Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf. And we had a caller on the air, a liberal, who was defending the quotes I had just read. Five
exactly.
quotes.
I wish, if you ever get that on tape, boy, you need to get that on your website.
All right, if we can find that on tape, we will put it on the web.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you, Fred.
God bless you.
Boy, I appreciate that. All right, hey, the email we got, A View to a Kill, if you're walking down the street and some guy comes at you with a knife and you got a gun in your hand and you have seconds before he reaches you and your family, what do you do? The liberal answer? Well, that's not enough information to answer the question. Does the man look poor or oppressed? Have I ever done anything that is inspiring him to be angry? Could we run away? What would my wife think? What about the kids? Could I possibly swing the gun like a club and knock the knife out of his hand? Would he be offended? What does the law say about the situation? Is it possible he'd be happy with just killing me and not my family members? Does he definitely want to kill me, or would he just be content to wound me or just rob me or pistol whip me? If I were to grab his knees and hold on, could my family get away while he was stabbing me? That's right, he had a knife. This is all so confusing. I need to debate this with some friends for a few days to try to come to a conclusion. That's the liberal answer. What would you do with a guy running at you with a knife at you and your family seconds away and you had a gun in your hand? Okay, what's the conservative's answer? Bang. That's the conservative's answer. Bang. That's so great. And what is the Texan's answer? Bang, 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 click. And then sounds of clip being ejected and a fresh clip installed. Wife, sweetheart, he looks like he's still moving. What do you think, kids? Son, mom's right, Dad. I saw him move, too. Bang, 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 click. Daughter, nice grouping, Daddy. Nice grouping. That is just too funny. All right. Let's see. Why pick February for a H-free zone when it's the shortest month? We're about out of time. Dean in South Bend, do you have a comment?
Yeah, Bob. Didn't the American Psychiatric Association a few years ago say that they changed it from being a disorder to normal?
Yeah, they did. When they changed it, it was changed on a vote. And normally you don't decide science based on a vote, popular opinion.
Right.
And it was when radical homosexuals like Queer Nation had interrupted one of their conventions, went in all dressed like women in wackos and skirts and wigs and makeup, and they were just dancing and prancing and shouting vulgarities. And that's the meeting at which they changed their position. And they said homosexuality is normal.
Sounds like there's something wrong in the profession.
You know, to be a liberal, you have to believe that boys and girls are, the differences are instilled by the environment, and that homos are born that way. Is that too weird or what?
It is different.
Liberals think that boys and girls are not born differently, they're born the same. Right? There's no difference between men and women.
Right.
And they believe that homos are born that way.
Happy February, Bob.
Thank you. Bye, Dean. I appreciate that. You got to be really stupid to be a liberal. You really do. You got to believe that ATM fees are too high and taxes are too low. You've got to be stupid to be a liberal. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.